Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It is a great joy to be with you today as I am going to share with you another reflection on the Camino, almost done, and also a 20-minute reflection. The last two segments are a reflection on Jesus is the way. That beautiful truth and title that Jesus identified himself as the way is something that has really begun to impact me more deeply. And I wanted you to be blessed and benefit from that. And so I share that with you. And so we're going to get going today. I'll be, first of all, sharing with you another reflection. Just again, I think it might even be the last walking into Santiago, or maybe one before that, but getting very, very close. All right. Back in a minute with more of the program.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm going to get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, I thank you and I praise you for the gift of our lives, the gift of our faith. And Lord, I just love you and praise you that you are the way. Lord, that you not only show us the way, you not only walk on the way and invite us to follow you as disciples, but I thank you, Lord, for the many, many facets, the many, many ways that you bless us by being the way. That, Lord, you lead us, you approach us, you are with us, you preserve us, you protect us, you provide for us. Lord, you guide us and meet us and are always true to being with us. And you rescue us, Lord, even when we fail you and run from you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would truly bless all of those who are listening, that they would come to experience the blessing that they most need. Lord, the way in which that you are the way for them and the way that will be the most meaningful, the most beautiful, the most perfect. Jesus, and I thank you that you gave us a prayer to pray while we are on the way. And so, Lord, I finished today this opening prayer by praying in the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Beginning with the program, I offer another reflection on hiking the Camino. And then when I come back, two sections on Jesus is the way. Hey, welcome to day 30 of my Camino journey. And this is just a day before the end of the journey. I completed the entire Camino in 31 days, and that was with 3 days of rest. But today has a special significance, this day 30, because it's the day when I walked the longest stage of any of the days, and 38 miles. And it was preceded by, up to that point, the day where I had walked the longest stage. I already mentioned this. And so when I arrived in Palos de Rey, I had completed a 29-mile journey, and I was really tired, really spent. And thank God I had the food. Thank you, Lord. I had the food in my room to be able to just stay in the bed, keep my feet up, rest and recover, and basically just say stay put. And honestly, I had to do what I needed to do from the physical standpoint for food and for rest and recovery. But I think the bigger thing was reaching into my mind and my heart, my soul, to be able to prepare for what was coming next. Because what was coming next was absolutely the longest day that I will have ever walked in my entire life. So here I am in the evening. It's, you know, close to say 10 o'clock at night. And I am trying to get into my mind this idea that tomorrow I'm going to walk 38 miles. and that's like a more than 50% increase over the longest stretches that I had walked through all the stages up until the day before. And it was still like one third longer, or even more than that, you know. Yeah, no, but a third longer than the day that I just walked the day before. So I had to try to wrap my mind around this. Like, can I do this? I don't think I can do this physically. I don't think I'm capable of following up on today with another day tomorrow, and trying to wrap my mind around how long is it going to take? Because if you remember, when I'm walking on normal stages, I can walk about 3 miles an hour. Well, 38 miles is about what? That's going to be 12 and a half hours, right? That's going to be, that's 13 hours almost. That's a long day, 13 hours of walking. That doesn't include breaks, right? Or just under 13, 12, something, just over 12 hours, 13 hours. And with breaks, I'm thinking, okay. And I looked up the place I was going, and they have their check-in ended at 6 in the evening. So I'm like, okay, I've got to be there before 6 in the evening, or I risk not being able to get my room. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, what time do I have to leave? And well, the answer was 4 o'clock in the morning is the time I have to leave to be able to put in a very solid, consistent, extended day of three miles an hour for over 12 hours, and to give myself just that buffer to be able to rest and eat and take a quick break, and just a little bit of extra buffer based on, you know, if the roads are hard, or the climbing, or the through the woods are difficult, or because of the weather. Oh, I forgot to mention that. The weather forecast for the day was rain, pouring rain. And as I'm sitting there looking at the weather forecast at about 10 o'clock at night, it's pouring rain out. It had been raining for hours and hours. So I'm in this place. Okay, how am I going to do this? Well, I'm going to share with you the story of how I did it. And it involves six different elements. And these elements are going to be relevant for your life of faith and your journey in life as well, as just helping me like figure out how am I going to get there. So the first was, well, actually, to be practical, right? So to be practical, it was, I need to break this day up into stages. And one of the things that I knew was, okay, I have been able to do 24-mile days leaving around 8 in the morning. So I'm thinking, okay, if I can get close to 24 miles left in my day by 8 o'clock, then I'll be able to make it. I'll be able to make it. And so 24 miles beginning at 8 o'clock, that's 8 hours. Okay, that's 4 o'clock with a little bit of break, 4:30. That'll get me close, or say 4 o'clock. That'll get me 24 miles if I can do that. But all I have to do then is to mentally say to myself, let me crank out 12 miles or at least 10 miles. Now, what was it? 12 miles. Yeah, let me crank out 12 miles between 4 and 8 in the morning. And so that's 4 hours, 3 miles an hour that'll get me there. And then if I can break up that 24-mile chunk, I can do what I normally do, which is go around just over half of that until, let me go 8 to 1, and that'll get me about, you know, 15 miles. And then from 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, I only have to go an additional 11 miles and I'll be able, this will do it. It'll work. So I had to have a plan in my mind that was based not on the total trip, but based on trips that I had done, stages that I had walked previously that I knew was in my body. And if I could, if you will, kind of train my mind to work with my body and say, you can handle this level of this chunk of time and this distance, then it becomes a realm of possibility. And I did have a safety valve. My safety valve was going to be that if in fact I was going to be unable to accomplish this, that I could go as far as I could. And then if I was like getting close to 6 o'clock or I was just completely spent and maybe in a depleted state, I could always like take a taxi from wherever I was to the hostel. And then in the morning, take that taxi back to that point where I got picked up and then walk from there. And that wouldn't be an ideal situation because it was my final day on the Camino. It was my day of walking into Santiago de Compostela. And I also had a plane flight, by the way, at 6 o'clock that night. So I really wanted to get into the city as early as I could and be able to spend as much of that day in Santiago de Compostela as I could. So that meant you got to get through this. So I had the safety net. I had that safety net based on these chunks of time. And if I wasn't going to be able to do it, that I did have a way to get to the hostel. Okay. But this brings me to my second thing that really got me to be able to accomplish this. And it's something that's surprising to me. You remember, because we talk about the Camino is discussed as having these three stages, right? The first set of stages are really about the body and getting the body, like undergoing these demanding things to get in shape. And then the middle section of the Camino is about the mind because it flattens out and there's less to look at. So you go within yourself and you really get, you know, cleansing your thinking and getting your reflection going about really why, you know, what's going on, why am I here, and things that are important to reflect on. And then the last stage is about the soul, going into the core of your being. And that was reminiscent of a word that started to show up on many signs and spray painted in many places. And it was the word Altrea. And Altrea, it means beyond or further or transcend. And those are really meaningful words to me, especially in this map out of body, mind, soul. It's actually reminiscent of the interior journey, that the way that you go beyond this world, the way that you transcend, you go beyond, you go further. The way that you transcend to the world is not by going out into the world, but by going deeper within yourself. The deeper you can go within yourself, from your body to your mind, into the core of your being and your soul, you then break through to a level of transcendence. And so in seeking his face, in pursuing this path of prayer and penance, and striving for this 10x life, and looking for a superabundant catch that is amazing and shocking, it's about striving to go within myself and deeper within until I go beyond myself to God. And so one of the sources of motivation for me was a word that was spoken to me, a word of encouragement, a word of inspiration. And it was given to me by this fellow that I had walked with a very long day. We had a wonderful, impactful time together. And he had gone ahead of me. And he said to me these words when I talked to him that night, the night before this challenging 38-mile walk. He said, "You got this. Oh, I believe in you. Oh, I walked with you. You can do this." And I
you know, I coach, right? I coach basketball. I've coached for years. I watch many coaches. I've done executive coaching and routinely am encouraging folks. But in my own life, someone encouraging me, I didn't really expect that someone's words of belief in me would have such a deep impression. It would make such a big impact. But it did. It really did. And I like leaned on his phrase, his sentence to me. I leaned on that word. I stood on that word. That word of saying, I believe in you. You've got this. You go for it. I'm proud of you already. You are going to do this. That had a greater impact on me than almost really any of these other things that I'm going to tell you, like the fact that I chunked it out practically, and then some of the other things that I'm going to share with you, like a very practical one that I made sure that I had enough food that wasn't going to overwhelm my backpack, like my day pack, with a lot of weight, but that I would access food along the way to be able to make sure that I could take in nutrients and water to be able to fuel my journey without having to take a lot of time. And so I needed to have those quick access to healthy fruit or some meat and cheese and some water to be able to give me some strength to push forward. So very practical there. Then also practical, I had some Advil to be able to deal with any bodily aches and pains, especially in the feet. And so I took that in the morning, and then I would take it again in the middle of the day and towards the end of the day, just to be able to help me overcome any bodily physical, you know, pain, suffering that was associated with such a long walk. But, you know, more impactful than all of those things was, in fact, I believe in you. Okay. So there were a couple of other factors, though, that also showed up. And the first one was the weather. And you might remember I just said, well, it was pouring out. Well, what ended up happening was that without an alarm clock, I woke up and it was 3:23 in the morning. 3:23 in the morning. Just so I woke up. And that's not too surprising because I have not slept well on the Camino in the different beds I was in. And so I woke up at 3:23. And instead of rolling over and saying, I'm gonna go back to sleep for a couple of hours, it came to me, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I got this. And so I got up and packed up my stuff. I ate a little bit, and it's pouring rain out, and I am going for it. And so 4 in the morning, down the stairs, out the door. Once I go out that door and that door locks behind me, ain't no going back. There's no way I can get back in because I have to leave the key to my room inside, and that door locks, and it's locked. So I know once that door shuts, I'm all in. And so I make my little video to my family and say, I'm off, I'm going, you know, here we go. And oh, by the way, they don't know that I'm actually going to be home in 2 days. But they still think I'm going to get home in 5 days. But I was surprising them. And that's the reason for this really long walk this day, was getting home sooner for my family. And so 4 in the morning, go out that front door, and it is pouring rain. It's also pitch black. Now I'm in an inhabited area, so there are some street lights, but I'm gonna quickly, within a mile or so, be out of the town, and I'm gonna be into the trails, the woods, the uphill and the downhill. But it's pouring rain out, and it's been pouring for 12 hours or longer. So that means puddles. That means mud. That means slippery. That means the inability to really tell, like, where's it deep and where's it not, and having to be very careful. And oh, by the way, I don't have a headlamp. I'm using my iPhone flashlight to be able to provide light for me once I get through the town. And again, it was about a mile, and now I'm out, and I'm starting to get down this very dark path that is streams of water and rocks on the trail, and I don't know the makeup of how long this is going to go on like this. And because it's pouring out, guess what? I am soaking wet. I've got on these light pants for hiking. My shoes are already just waterlogged. And it's 4:15. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go 39 miles today. I got this. Let's go. So in order for my iPhone to not like short out because of the wetness, I have to have it inside a sandwich bag. So I have it in a zipped up sandwich bag, which makes it even that much more complicated for me to shine it. And because I have to shine it with my hand, I can't use my hiking poles to help stabilize me. I've got to carry the both poles in one hand. I'm shining the light in the other, and I'm making my way slowly but surely through these different trails, down and up through the woods, and again, with water streams going down these trails. And that went on for 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours through the hills and trails, ups and downs, with occasional very short interruptions with like tiny, tiny little hamlets, not even like full towns, just a handful of homes through that area, then back into the woods. And that went on for about, again, until around 7:30, when I arrived at the next sort of really populated, like bigger town that had main street and some, you know, busy buses and all this. So it was like it's a bigger town. And just as I had arrived, the rain was relenting. It had gone down more to a sprinkle, and I see a place to get some breakfast. I go in there to get breakfast and some coffee, and frankly, to get warm because I'm just soaked. And, you know, I see a bunch of hikers that are, you know, pilgrims that are walking the Camino, and they're all there, and they're all dry, and they're all packed because, you know, it's just 7:30 in the morning. It's still dark. So they're just getting started. And guess what? Mission accomplished. I had walked 10 miles, and it's 7:30 in the morning, right? It wasn't the 12 miles, but it was good. I went a full 10 miles in the dark, and it's 7:30 in the morning, and now let me have breakfast. And now I'm going to recalibrate my mind that, okay, here I am, fresh start. Let me crank out 24 miles in the next 8 hours. So I warm up a bit. I eat some food, and without waiting too long, have some coffee. Oh yeah, and I still had the healthy food, which was great, bacon and eggs, which was great. And boom, off I go. So continue on. And I then have that turn where the weather becomes supportive. What ends up happening is the rain stops and it becomes windy. And the wind starts to dry out my clothes. And so I zip down my rain jacket, I open it up, and all of a sudden the shirt underneath, I take off my rain jacket, and it's still a bit chilly, but you know what? I'm literally drying out my clothes as I'm walking because the wind is that strong. And then the sun begins to come out, and the weather became my ally. It wasn't forecasted to be like that, but it became really a wonderful ally where there was partially cloudy, partially sunny. So it wasn't too hot, but it wasn't raining. And it became a wonderful gift to me to be able to hike, during the course of this day, with the weather aiding me rather than holding me back the way it did in the first 3.5 hours. This then led me to the next, which I think is now the fifth, right? So the first one was my practical planning and staging this in a way that was related to what I knew. The second was that word of encouragement. That it was really the most important one, but that word of encouragement. The third was that practical planning around making sure that I was going to access food at the right points and being able to get food in a way that was going to be super helpful. The fourth was having that medication to make sure that my body was going to be taken care of in terms of aches and pains. The fifth was the weather, right? So this weather now becoming an ally to me. And the sixth, and there's actually seven. So the sixth was the people. So in the course of this stage, that I'm walking, and I'm actually walking two stages today. I'm walking two stages. If you remember, the path from Soria to Santiago is much more crowded. So now I have the gift of these other hikers, these other pilgrims that are on the path with me. And so while it was very commonly the case that I could hike for hours in earlier stages and see no one or see someone and then eventually catch them and pass them and move on. Or in some instances, much rarer, that they would catch me and then move on. This was, here comes everybody, right? So now I have, you know, a number of people in front of me and I'm walking along and I'm like slowly passing them and just continuing to move forward. Because I can't just sort of stay in line with folks, fall in line with their pace. I have to stay on my 3-mile-an-hour pace to be able to make it to my goal in the time and before the hostel closes. It's check-in period. So the people were such a great help because the idea that I'm not doing this alone. The idea that there are others who are walking the same path was really wonderfully helpful. And especially as the day went on, because as the day went on, like if I'm walking with people that had started back as far as I did, they would stop off. They would be finished because they're not going 38 miles. So they'd stop off at 15 or maybe 20 or maybe 24, but they're done. So what's happening is I'm catching the people from the previous stage. Or sorry, from the next stage. And so I'm able to leverage their own commitment to get to the town that I'm gonna get to be able to kind of slingshot me forward when other people, if I was just staying with them from my stage, they'd be tiring out, slowing down and stopping. I'm able to hook on to the next group and be able to be carried forward. It's kind of like a relay race, but I have no one to hand the baton to. And so I found it so helpful. And honestly, here's the funny thing. I didn't talk to anybody that day. It was the longest day. And I passed the most people in the course of that day. But I had no significant conversations over the course of that entire 38-mile stage. Instead, this is the last thing that I used to help me be successful. Was Ultrea, transcend, by going within. Now, the first way that I went within was through prayer. So in that entire 3.5 hour period that I walked from 4 a.m. until 7:30, I prayed. So I got a wonderful foundation for my day, praying the rosary and then praying for people for the entire 3.5 hours. That was a beautiful gift to me. And what did it do? It kept me in myself. So even though I had to pay attention to the realities going on around me, I was continually going within, and focusing on reaching the Lord who was beyond, the Lord that is transcending this world to come and be with me. This then led me to Another way that I leveraged the support of going within, and that was through podcasts. So I had looked up a couple of podcast series that were engaging, that were well-produced and highly rated, that I could lose myself in. What I ended up finding was a compelling podcast series that had episodes that were more or less, you know, 45 minutes to an hour each. And it was, you know, 15 sessions, 20 sessions long, 20 episodes long. So I knew I wasn't going to run out. And I just started to listen to the podcast. And by listening to the podcast, what was I doing? Again, I was distracting my mind from either my body or from thinking thoughts that would undermine my ability to actually finish this by focusing too much on what I was actually doing. And it was literally that combination of things, the word of encouragement, the practical supports of the food and the medicine, the practical planning for the length of the stages that I was going to walk, the strategic use of eating food and drinking without taking long breaks, the support that would carry me along of the other people, and then my capacity to go within myself in prayer, and then even just in my own thinking and listening to be able to fill the time where my body was walking. And unbelievably, I made it. I knew that it was going to be, my hostel was just after the airport. And so I'd be looking for the queue of airplanes coming and landing. And I was able to, oh, there's the airport, and ended up walking all the way around it and then walking into the town. And then once I would get to the town, I would go into my Google map and I would plug in my hostel. That would give me walking directions to it. And now I'm within a mile and then a half a mile, and then I'm on the street and I stumble into the hostel at 4:45. And so I ended up walking that day a total of about 13 hours, 12 hours and 45 minutes I walked the 38 miles. And so tiny little breaks along the way, a matter of a few minutes and a few minutes and a few minutes several times, but that was it. And by the grace of God and by determined effort, was able to accomplish it. Now, I share this with you. It's kind of a longer story in terms of telling you the endurance that it took to get through this, but I give you those practical aids that I used to be able to complete this, because those are things that will we should be drawing on when we face tasks that seem monumental to us, that are beyond anything we've done before, that, or even just taking them in a much more spiritual sense to transcend. If you're going to transcend this world, you have to go through those three stages, right? There are these traditional three stages of the spiritual life, the purgative that has to do with the body and getting the bodily senses in order. And then that leads to the mind and is ordering the interior capabilities of our reason, our memory, our imagination, our will. And then ultimately it's getting to the heart, the soul of the person, where the Lord brings us into this transcendent union with God, with himself. And so walking those paths draw upon some of those very same practical tips and useful strategies for being able to grow in our spiritual life. We need to build up our endurance. We need to draw on words of encouragement. We need to be able to make sure we have the source of sustenance. We need to be able to root ourselves interiorly through prayer and through thinking on the things that are going to help us advance in the spiritual life, all of those things. And so I got to see it all play out on the last full day of hiking in my Camino. I did not plan for my last day to be like this, my last hiking day, not at all. I am grateful to the Lord that I chose circumstances that put this enormous challenge in front of me of walking the 29 miles yesterday and then the 38 miles today. And I that's something I'm actually proud of, as a physical endurance challenge to walk 67 miles in 2 days, not on a track or on a flat surface, but through the situation and circumstances that I faced. Wow, that the Camino has had a big impact on my physical abilities. And so I thank God for that, as well as just the total interior that had to accompany the physical exterior. So, all right, well, there you go. I can't wait to share with you tomorrow, which was the day that I walked into Santiago de Compostela.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome to another Camino reflection. The Camino is the way. Camino refers to a road, a way, a path, and it's something that, having walked it in a way that in a manner that had me stripped down so many other aspects of my life, where my day-to-day activity was quite a simple one. It was to get up, and it was to walk. And oftentimes walking was hiking. And that hiking had a variety of circumstances and a variety of encounters and so many other aspects of things. But when you like strip it all down, it was myself walking on this way. And I think one of the great gifts that comes from doing this, walking the Camino, in the spirit of faith, in the spirit of the tradition of the Camino, is that it amplifies the reality that I'm a pilgrim, even back in my own life, that seeking his face, Leo DuPont was this great lay person who embraced the reality of seeking the face of God, seeking the face of Jesus in the Veronica's Veil image that he had hanging in his home. And there was something so deeply ingrained in him that even though he never left Tours, France for 30 years, even though he, stayed in one place, he named himself, he referred to himself, not as a man who had a stability of remaining in place, but he referred to himself as the pilgrim. And I think that that was a fruit of the reality of his devotion to the Holy Face. The more he gazed upon the Holy Face, the more he prayed the golden arrow prayer and the prayers, the litany of the Holy Face, and the other prayers that flowed from Sister Mary of St. Peter, the more that he came into both intimate contact with the Lord through the Holy Face image, and the greater that his awareness became, the even more painful awareness of the distance that still was yet to come. As deep as his connection and communion and communication that he experienced with Jesus through his seeking of the face, the contemplating the Holy Face of Jesus, the more he became aware fundamentally that the structure of his existence was being on the way. I'm not yet home. And that's a this, here's the word, paradox. It's a paradoxical thing to experience simultaneously this sense of intimate communion and communication and connection, which speaks of union. That means I'm with you. That means I'm here. I'm arrived. And simultaneously, no, I'm not yet there. No, there's a distance to go. No, I'm still separated. No, I'm still not with you in the full, final, complete, perfect way that you intend for me and that I've been made for. And so this fundamental structure of my existence as homo viator, it's again, St. Thomas Aquinas, homo viator is the structure of human existence on earth. I am one who is on the way. I am one who is on the way. And that is something that then associates with, it comes into relationship with Jesus and his identification as the one who is the way. In John 8, I am the way. I recently offered a reflection on that in an earlier stage about how I've come to reflect more fully on Jesus being the way. And I talked at that point about sharing with you the many faceted diamond of Jesus's self-identification as being the way. And so I want to unfold that now. Did you hear what I just called the facets of a diamond? And I love that analogy for understanding these rich truths of the faith. In this instance, one of the, let's call it one of the titles of Jesus. He self-identifies as the way, right? As the way, the truth, and the life. He's the, the light of the world, the Son of Man, the Son of God, all these different titles, Lord, Messiah. And yet there's a meaning, a richness, all by itself, among the titles, in each of them. There's a mysterious dimension of each of them. And so today I'm going to reflect on the meaning that Jesus is the way. And I was surprised, and I'm going to guess that you'll be surprised too, to listen to the unfolding of the many facets of this truth that Jesus is for you the way. And what does that mean for your life? That Jesus announces to you, one who is created by God with this structure that says, I'm not yet home, I'm on the way. And then he says, I've come and being born among you, I am the way. Well, let's take a look. So I'm just going to share with you and not offer in like lots of like extended reflections, but brief reflections on this reality that Jesus is the way. And so, yes, of course, Jesus being the way, he leads you on your way. He's your leader on the way. And so he says what? Come follow me. And so that's in John chapter 1 and in Psalm 23, right? We have this idea that he leads me to green pastures, through dark valleys. So when Jesus says, I'm the way, he's saying in one sense, one facet, that no matter where you're at in your lives, you don't always know, like the idea of, I can see 10 steps ahead. I know exactly where I'm headed, right? And like, okay, where am I headed in my career? Where am I headed in my relationship? Where am I headed in this situation that's unfolding in my family? And the beautiful truth is I don't have to know, as long as I know who's leading me. Jesus, you're the way. You're the one leading me on the way. And so please lead me and lead my family as we're walking this path. So Jesus is saying, I'm the one who's going to lead you on your way. And the second is that he's with you on your way. He's with you on the way. If he's the way, and your structure is to walk on the way, he's with you. He's present to you on the way. In fact, isn't that the final promise of Jesus? It's the way the Gospel of Matthew ends, right? Go, therefore, and baptize and teach, Father, Son, baptism, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and follow the law I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you until the end of time. I will be with you. I'm going to be with you on the way, on your way, in your life. In Exodus 17, there was a rebellion against Moses as he's bringing them through the desert. Why? Well, they reached down to the fundamental temptation, the Israelites, the fundamental temptation that they had during their time in the desert. Their time that is meant to what? Cleanse them of their attachments to Egypt and to form and prepare them to enter the Holy Land. So here they are, they're on the way, the Exodus, the way, they're on the road, and their fundamental temptation is to question whether God is with them or not. Do we trust that God is with us or not? And that was considered rebellion. That was the temptation, that was the rebellion to doubt that the Lord is with us. And so Jesus is with you. Okay, continue. He leads you, he's with you. How about he approaches you on your way? Not only are there times when you're walking and you realize, okay, the Lord is leading me and I can trust that, even if I don't know where I'm going, I know that he is actually leading me, then I'm okay, or he's with me. How about he approaches you on the way? And so Luke 24, right, the story of the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another disciple are walking and Jesus approaches them. So Jesus is going to take the initiative, and you can trust this, that because he's the way, as you're walking on your way, when you're not aware of it, you may not recognize him. And in the instance of Cleopas, he's arguing. They're having a heated discussion, and yet Jesus takes the initiative and approaches. And so I want you to, again, have that sense of confidence that when Jesus says he's the way, it means he's going to be the way for you, even when you're in a troubled, conflictual relationship on the path that you're walking that isn't easy. He's taking the initiative, and he's approaching you on the way. He also is going to be passing by you on the way. And in passing by you, asking you to make the invitation to reach out to him, to invite him in, to engage with him. Okay, did you hear that? That's, again, it's a subtle shift. Jesus is passing by you on the way. So there are two instances of this in the Gospels, first Luke 18, 35, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is passing by and Bartimaeus stops him, shouts, "I don't want to miss this moment, Lord. I don't want you to pass by my life. And so I'm crying out to you, Lord, Son of David, have pity on me. I'm going to grab your attention and say, please come to me in my regard. Don't pass me by. Come to me right now." And then there's the story of the road to Emmaus. When they reach Emmaus, Jesus acts as if he's going further. And they say, no, come in, and break bread with us. And that's where Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of the bread. So there's a opportunity, an invitational aspect to Jesus being on the way that we are also called upon to take an initiative or to respond. Maybe a better thing, because Jesus has taken the initiative and is passing by our lives. It's up to us to take the initiative in response and say, please come to me. You can even think of the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. And she comes and begs Jesus. Remember, he calls her a dog and the food to the dogs, and she keeps pleading, right? She took the initiative and approached. You could even say, the leper in Mark chapter 1 comes up to Jesus, right? Jesus is in his orbit and in her orbit, and they take the initiative to approach and say, Jesus, don't pass by my life in this moment. So again, an encouragement for you. If you're in one of those moments And you might be wondering, Jesus, are you passing by this moment? I need you. I need you to come and to intervene and to take action. Jesus awaits you on your way. Jesus is waiting for you. You're going to bump into him as you're walking your journey, the John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well, right? Remember now, the woman goes to the well at the wrong time of day. She goes in the middle of the day. Women would have gone first thing in the morning to get their water for the needs of the day. She doesn't go. She goes during the height of the sun, totally exposed. She goes when no one else is going to be there because no one else is going to be there because she's that woman that everybody knows. And yet Jesus sends off the apostles to go get food. And he's waiting for her. And in waiting for her, he encounters her and takes the initiative. She who is attempting to avoid gets encountered. And so that's, again, just a beautiful word of encouragement that one of these beautiful facets of Jesus being the way is that he's waiting for you on your way, even when you'd want to avoid him. And he does not relent. He continues to press in and tells her everything that everything there was to know about her. He told her, and yet he accepted her. And so here's this woman who thought she was, again, cut off through shame, and yet she ends up being named and known and accepted and embraced, and that changes everything. That can happen through the truth that Jesus is the way, and he's waiting for us on our way. He also provides for us on our way. He provides for us. In 1 Kings, you have Elijah, who is fleeing on his way. He's fleeing because the king is trying to kill him, and yet the Lord provides through crows bringing him food. And so the Lord provides. Of course, the Exodus, every day, the Lord's providing. Pillar of cloud by day and of flame by night, pillar of flame by night, and then the manna, and then the quail. Every day, you follow the Lord's way, he's going to provide for you. He's going to give you what you need. He protects you on the way. He protects you. And so Exodus 17 with the Amalekites, they come and wage war against Moses and Joshua and the Israelites. So here they are attempting to follow the Lord on his path, on the path they have set out for them. And they're not choosing to fight, but the fight comes to them. The battle comes to them. And the battle comes to them, and what ends up happening? The Lord says, I'm going to provide for you what you need, but you've got to turn to me. You've got to pray. Hands are lifted by Moses, and he's supported by Aaron and Hur. And then Joshua wins the battle because they're praying. They have the strength they need for the battle to be protected on the way. And so we will be attacked. There will be attacks that come against us on our way, and just trust that the Lord has protection for you when you turn to him in prayer on the way. He also preserves you on your way, Psalm 91. He has given his angels command over you that lest your foot strike a stone, they will be there to prevent a fall. And so the angels are, again, messengers and signs from God of the Lord preserving you as you walk your way. Lest your foot strike against a stone. It's literally referring to walking on the path that is yours. So the Lord is what? He leads you. He's with you. He approaches you. He passes by you. He awaits you. He provides for you. He protects you. He preserves you. He also rescues you on your way. Luke 15, the lost sheep. The 99 are there. There's one missing. He has such a care for you that he's seeking you out. He's seeking you out when you are leaving the fold. He is going to rescue you, carry you on your shoulders, and get you back to the flock. And you read reflections on what it would take sometimes to get a sheep to be able to be on the shoulders. You'd have to hurt the leg to be able to get the sheep to be compliant, to be able to be carried back to the fold. The Lord is going to rescue us even when we leave the way. And he will see you through your way, right? So I think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is going to shepherd us all the way home. The shepherd in Psalm 23 is going to get them through the dark valleys to those green pastures, protecting from the wolves and other enemies. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's going to lead his sheep. They hear his voice, and he will lead them home and safely in and out of that sheep gate. More to say, but just wanted to unfold for you some of the beautiful facets of this diamond, that Jesus is the way. And those were just so quick, those references. But I hope and pray that they were a blessing to you as I reflect with you the fruits of the Camino, where Jesus is the way. God bless.